Good morning. Our brother Brian has asked we read from Proverbs chapter 1, verses 10 to 15. As we sang that song there, the third verse, he freely redeemed with his blood my soul, your soul from the confines of hell. He did that freely. He sent Jesus. He shed his blood that we could be delivered from hell. And I don't know exactly what Brian's going to preach about this morning, but these verses give us some warning. Verses 10 to 15 and then chapter 13, verse 20. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. And then chapter 13, verse 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. With these words on our minds, all those that are able, let us kneel for prayer.
Good morning. We greet each of you this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'd like to thank you for praying for me last week while I was at Momert. I don't know what happened to me. In the middle of the week, I got sick. And for 2 days, I was in bed with a fever. And I'd get up at night and go preach and go right back home again. But thank you for praying for me. I was able to fulfill the responsibility of preaching. I didn't get a lot out of fellowshipping with the congregation there. But thank you for your prayers. I've been thinking about baptism. There's two, Lord willing, I think, being baptized in Maine this morning. And I love baptism. And I think we need to spend more time thinking about what it is. But you know, in a very real sense, Sister Gracie will die this morning and never have to die again. Think about it. When she dies to herself today, when she's buried with Christ in the water, she'll never have to die again. Yes, she'll have to go home someday, but it'll be a homegoing. It won't be a death. It won't be a separation from her Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's a great thing, baptism, and I pray God's richest blessing on you, Gracie, and for those who are being baptized next week. You'll never have to die again. This morning, we'd like to look at the power of influence. The power of influence. The warning's very clear in what Brother Marvin read there in Proverbs. We're not going to spend a lot of time there. But the warning's very clear to each one. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. My son, walk not thou in the way with them and refrain thy foot from them. We need to be careful. We need to be careful of influences in our life. Influence. Influence is a power, and I think it is. It's a power. It's a force that can affect or shape our thoughts. It can affect or shape our actions. Our beliefs, it's invisible and unseen, but we see it all around us. Sort of like the wind, isn't it? We can't see influence necessarily, but we can see how it affects us and what it does to us. We can witness that. A couple of things about influence that we need to recognize. Influence can be both positive and negative. Both positive and negative. Influence around us can build us up. It can draw us closer to God. It can make us stronger. It can promote holiness in our life. All these are powerful ways that influence is positive. But influence can also be negative. It can tear down. It can destroy you. It can lead you further away from God. And I've seen it in the family I'm thinking of, not in this congregation, but I see that influence, both good and bad. I see some of the children were influenced by very godly people and took their place in the church and serving God. But some of the children in the same family, raised by the same parents, received ungodly influence. They made the wrong choices, but people they allowed into their lives, and they led them away from God. One family, children raised the same way, but because of influences around them, led in very different directions. Influence can be good, positive influence can be bad. Secondly, we need to recognize that that influence is always around us. We're constantly exposed to influences around us, and rarely are we free from it. We think of the influence of the home and the family. Our family members influence us. We think of our culture. Our culture as Americans, our culture as a church, that has an influence on the way we think, the way we, but what we believe and what we do. We think of other groups or associations we're part of, whether it be ball teams or clubs that we belong to, what have you. There's influence come from that association. There's influence comes from business, where you work, co-workers that you have, friends that you have. All these things are influencing us every day, and we can't get away from it. It's always there. Thirdly, we need to recognize that although it's always present, we see it most awfully influencing the young or the immature. As we get older, we're more set in our ways, whether that's good or bad, I don't know. But the older we get, the less likely we are to be influenced or changed. That young can be spiritual immaturity, or it can be an age kind of thing. We see it all the time in nature, don't we? When we plant a new tree, we put stakes around it to keep it from the influence of the wind, that it won't bend with the wind. We see it when a storm goes over a cornfield and younger corn gets blown over. We see it in people as well. It's said, and I don't remember, I should have looked it up where it came from, you give me a child for the first 7 years of his life, and I'll give you a man. You know, influence is more noticeable and more perversive and more available, whatever you would say, to the young people. We need to recognize that many influences are beyond our control. If we're going to live in the world, we're going to be influenced. That is beyond our control, many of them. But we can alter, we can change, we can protect ourselves from influences. That's why in a home or in a church, you know, we have rules or we have guidelines. We have filters on our computers and on our phones to protect us from those outside influences. And we need to be diligent and alert, recognizing that that influence is there, and do all we can to protect from it. Fifthly, we need to recognize that each of us, at the same time we're being influenced, we're also influencing someone else. So not only are we being influenced and being changed, but we're also influencing other people and changing them. These are some truths about influence. The point I'm trying to drive home this morning, or just make you aware, that there is a thing out there called influence. And it does have it can change us. And we need to be aware of that. We need to be aware that we are being influenced. And you should ask yourself the question, what or who is influencing you? That's an important question to ask. What or who is influencing you? Who's directing your thoughts? Who's changing your thoughts? Who's changing your actions? I guarantee you someone or something is. You need to identify who it is that's influencing you. And also, we need to ask ourselves a very hard question, what is our influence on others? We are influencing other people. And every day we're either building them up or tearing them down. We're either leading them closer to God or we're taking them further away. That's what I'd like you to think about this morning. The Bible has much to say about the power of influence. We see it in the warning about the unequal yoke. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness?" We often think about that with marriage, the unequal yoke. Don't be yoked together. Don't be tied together with an unbeliever. But it goes far beyond that. It's who we date. Don't date an unbeliever, the Bible says. Don't be intimate with an unbeliever. It has to do with our friendships. If our best friends and those we hang out with are unbelievers, there's a danger in that. There's a danger in that. And the Bible warns about it. It says, don't be unequally yoked. Don't be intimate. Have an intimate relationship. And allow that to influence you. I think I've told this story here before, but I'll tell it again. You know, there was a time I rode to work with a young man. And I believe my motive was pure. He rode with me. He'd come to my house in the morning. We'd ride to work together. And I allowed him, he was the guest, I allowed him to pick the radio station. And the radio station he picked, the name probably doesn't mean anything to most of us, but it was a man called Howard Stern. He was filthy. There were no redeeming qualities to it. And at first I was repulsed by it. And it didn't take long until I was laughing at the jokes. You see, who we spend time with, who we're yoked with, has a huge influence on us. There's a warning in Scripture that tells us none of us live our lives in isolation. It says, Romans 14:7 says this, "For no man liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself." It means you're not alone. Everything we say and think and do has an effect on someone else. And the idea behind it is the idea of influence. And it's a warning to make us remember that we are being influenced and we are influencing other people. What about the familiar warning in Romans 12:2? You've all heard it preached on so many times. But yet again, I tell it to you, be not conformed to this world. That command recognizes the fact that the world has an influence on us. The world, the culture, has an influence on us. There's a power there. Of course, the challenge is to be in the world and not of the world. I understand that. Jesus said, I wouldn't have you leave the world, but to be in the world and not influence of it and not allow it to conform us is the whole challenge of the Christian life. Number four, there's a warning in Scripture about the power of influence I want you to look at. Turn to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. Here in this portion of Scripture, I'd like to read from verse 11, are two great men of the faith, Peter and Barnabas. And we think of them both as great men, and they were. But listen as I read it and see the influence that one had on the other. But when Peter was come, Galatians 2:11, but when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcisions. You see, Peter here would eat with the Gentiles until authorities came from James, that certain came from James from Jerusalem, and then he didn't eat with them anymore. Peter was caught in what we call hypocrisy. Verse 13, and the other Jews disassembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas was carried away with this dissimulation. Barnabas, man of encouragement, that great spiritual giant, was influenced by what Peter did. And he was carried away and drugged down with Peter's error. It happens. We are influenced. The strongest Christian here, the one that's walking with God, the closest, it can happen to any one of us. Number five, there's a warning in 1 Corinthians 15:33. It says, be not deceived. It says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. That means evil company, evil people around you, evil association will corrupt good habits, good morals. You know, and the interesting thing about that verse is found in that section of Scripture that speaks about the resurrection. It's talking about all the glorious things about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and what it is. And here we find this verse in the middle of all that. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. And I think it's a challenge there to the church at Corinth. They were being fed false information about the resurrection. I believe that's why it's there. They were being led astray about the resurrection. The false doctrine and false teaching were slipping into the church. And Paul warns the church. He said, beware. Beware. Evil company. Teachers, false teachers, corrupt good habits. And the challenge for each of us and the challenge for our church is to beware of false doctrine and the problems it brings as it brought into the church. These scriptures are all warnings against how we're being influenced. How we're being influenced. And it's so important that we heed these warnings. It's so important that we protect our children and those young in the faith. We need to protect them from false, from wrong friendships. We need to protect them where they attend school. We need to protect them from all the evils in the world. The warning goes out. We have a responsibility to protect our young. We need to protect our homes from wrong influences, from the technology. If you have technology in your home that's not filtered, an internet that's not filtered, or phones that aren't filtered, I beg you to go home and change it. Fix it now. We need to protect our churches from false teachers and bad examples. As we think of these things, it can make us make some very hard decisions. Hard decisions. I had to. And that man that rode with me back and forth to work, I had to tell him, no, I wouldn't do it anymore. And that's not easy. That's not easy. Sometimes we have to make hard decisions and distance ourselves from our friends, from intimate relationships. Sometimes we have to break off intimate relationships. Sometimes we have to say no to family gatherings. You know, for you here that were raised in a Christian home, and all your aunts and uncles and things are Christians, you never had to experience that. But sometimes we have to say no to family gatherings. Sometimes we have to say no to vacations, to beaches. Don't take your young children to beaches in summertime. Why would you expose them to that influence? Sometimes we have to say no to recreation, who we go hunting with, or maybe ball teams, I don't know. As a young boy, I was taken to a hunting camp with ungodly men. I should not have been exposed to that. Be careful where you take your children. Sometimes we have to say no to work. Maybe the pressure there at work is just too much and you can't withstand the influence there. Sometimes we have to make that decision and say no and find a job somewhere else. Sometimes we have to say no to the groups and the clubs that we're part of because they're not leading us closer to God, but they're drawing us away from God. We need to live a life of awareness with our eyes wide open that there are influences all around us. There's a very real danger to evil influence. Sometimes we have to say no, and as Scripture says, don't make provision for the flesh. We just have to run and avoid those situations. We spend some time thinking about how we're influenced. Now I'd like to sort of change gears and challenge us to examine ourselves, what kind of influence we are. What kind of influence are we, am I, on the people I meet? And maybe collectively, what kind of influence are we as a congregation, as a church? I was reminded recently of a phrase I'd heard and then forgotten. Did you ever hear this? A rising tide lifts all ships. I don't know where that came from, but John Kennedy made it famous when he was talking about an economic policy. You know, a good economy, a rising tide raises all ships and makes it better for everybody. I don't know that that's true or not in economics, but I believe it is true in the church and in the home. If each of us would commit to a careful examination of the influence we are in others, think of what a lifting that would have in our homes. What a lifting that would have in our churches. If we just think about the influence that we have on someone else. A rising tide raises all the ships. We need to concentrate, we need to focus on the influence that we have on each other. But we have to commit to it as individuals. If we want to lift our homes, if we want to lift our church, our congregation, we as individuals have to be committed. And I challenge you with a couple thoughts here from Scripture. As I find there's two different people, two different ways, two different influences in the church. One is described, and we're going to look at it, as a star, a beautiful star. And the other one is described as a stumbling block. And I'd like to challenge, which one are you? Are you committed to be a star or a stumbling block? Turn, if you would, to Daniel 12. Daniel 12. I'm not going to speak about the end time events here that's described, or the time of Jacob's troubles, or any of that. But I will read these first few verses. Daniel 12, verse 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall wake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. But this verse 3 is the one that caught my eye as I was thinking about being a star. And they that shall be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn away many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. And they that turn many to righteousness shall shine as the stars forever and ever. A star is something that radiates light. A star is something that encourages us, doesn't it? A star is something that builds us up, leads us to righteousness. A star, it's a positive influence. And this kind of star described here says it'll last forever and ever. It's not a shooting star that just lasts a short time. It's not a star of Hollywood or a star of athletics that are only famous for a short time. This star that's described here, the one that leads others to righteousness, will shine forever and ever. You see, the teaching's very similar. If you would, turn to Matthew 5. Matthew 5, verse 13. The teaching there is very similar. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The question for us this morning, are we stars? Are we salt? Are we light? Are we leading other people to a closer relationship with Jesus Christ? Are we stars in our homes? Are we stars in our churches? Are we stars in our workplace? Are we shining brightly and leading others to righteousness? Do we have a positive influence on those we meet? You know, there's another type of influence described in Scripture. If you turn to Matthew 18, and this influence is called a stumbling block. Matthew 18, verse 6. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to the man by whom the offense cometh. Sobering verses there. To offend means to cause to sin, to cause to stumble, to be a stumbling block, to be a negative influence, to lead others away from Christ. Notice the consequence of doing that. It'd be better for a millstone, one of those great millstones, to be hung around his neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea than to be a stumbling block to someone else. Here it talks about little children. In Luke's account of this, it says nothing about little children. So I don't believe this command not to be a stumbling block is just for little children. It's for anyone we meet. Are we a stumbling block to their faith? Are we causing them to fail? Are we leading them away from God? We have to ask ourselves that question. We have to face that question honestly. What are some ways we are a bad influence and we cause others to stumble? I took that word offense and I looked it up and looked at some other verses that spoke about it. Turn, if you would, to Matthew 16. Go back a page or two. Matthew 16. Here we find the same word, Matthew 16, verse 23. In an interesting account, Matthew 16:23, but he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense, thou art a stumbling block, thou art a trap unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of man. Same word here, a stumbling block or a trap. And you see the stumbling block here that we can lay in front of people, just like Peter did, was false counsel. Peter could only see with his own eyes. He didn't see God's picture. He didn't see the good that would come from her, what God was trying to do. And he wanted to try to stop the crucifixion of our Lord. False counsel. We need to be very careful when we give counsel and advice. We need to be very careful. We need to ask ourselves, is it God's will? Are we counseling? Are we giving advice according to God's will, at least as we understand it? Or is it something we want to see happen? That was what Peter's offense was here. We cause someone to stumble when we give bad counsel, bad advice. Have you ever been given bad advice? I have. We need to be careful. Secondly, the second way we can cause people to stumble is if we lead them in a way to violate their conscience. Turn to Romans 14. Romans 14. Romans 14, verse 12. Here again we find that word stumbling block. Romans 14, verse 12. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself unto God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. These verses I'm taking out of context here, but the context is Christian liberty. Christian liberty. Sometimes we can create a stumbling block, lead someone astray if we cause them to violate their conscience. Violate their conscience. Something they know is wrong. Something that may be not spelled out in Scripture, but we know is wrong. What about television and movies? If you go to someone's home and they coax you to watch a movie, watch television, maybe it's not such good things on it. You know, they're laying a stumbling block. When we do that, we lay a stumbling block in front of someone. What about music? They get in the car with you and say, hey, listen to this song that I heard. New music that's out. And it's not Christian music. Maybe it's country music, maybe it's rock music, I don't know. You see, we can lay a stumbling block in front of them. What about dress? When we tell them, you don't have to dress like that, even though their parents ask them to, we lay a stumbling block. Alcohol. The list goes on and on and on. We lay stumbling blocks. And when we do that, the Bible says it'd be better for a great millstone to be hung around your neck and you'd be cast in the depths of the sea than cause one of my little ones to stumble. First Corinthians 10:23 says, all things are lawful to me, but not all things are expedient. Not all things build me up. Not all things draw me closer to God. All things are lawful for me, but in all things edify not. So let no man seek his own wealth, but in every man another's wealth, another's well-being. We need to be careful. We need to be oh so careful that we don't cause someone else to stumble in these things that are often called Christian liberty. The third way we can cause another to stumble is through false teachers, false doctrine, false teaching. Turn to Romans 16. Romans 16, verse 16. Well, that's not what I want. Verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them, it says, take note of them which cause divisions and offenses. Offenses there is the same word, stumbling blocks. Note them that mark cause divisions and stumbling blocks contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. It says, watch out. Watch out for false teachers. Watch out the people that tell you untruths about the Bible. And it causes them to stumble. Causes them to stumble. Contrary to God's word. You see, James 3:1, when this is in our mind, where it warns that not many of you be teachers, because you're called to a higher standard, a higher judgment. This is why. This is why. When you stand and proclaim God's word, or you're teaching in a Sunday school class, be careful. Be careful. You see, if we call someone to stumble because we're teaching falsehood, contrary to God's word, it says it'd be better if a great millstone be hung around your neck and you'd be cast in the depths of the sea. Serious business. See, there's three ways at least, and there's many more, I'm certain, where we can be a bad influence on others. Where we can cause them to stumble. The question for each of us this morning, are we stars or are we stumbling blocks? Are we radiating Jesus Christ? Are we leading others towards righteousness? Or are we leading them away from God? Are we being a good influence or are we being a bad influence? And depending on the hour and depending on the day and the circumstances, I examine my life. There's times when I'm both. There's times when I'm a star. But there's times I'm a stumbling block. And I don't want it to be that way. So the question I put to you is the same question we had when we began. Who or what is influencing you? Someone is. Something is. And you need to decide who or what is influencing you. And then you need to make a decision. Is it leading you closer to God or leading you further away? Likewise, we need to look at our own selves. We need to look at ourselves. Are we bringing people closer to God? Are we stars? Or are we causing others to stumble by the path that we take and the things that we say and the things that we do? Are we causing them to stumble? These are some very difficult questions in life, but we need to be aware of that idea of influence. There's something or someone always influencing us, and at the same time, we're a constant influence on those that we meet around us. May God bless you.
Let's stand for closing prayer.